What an awesome morning. From my memory, that's probably the smallest senior class we've had. But what they lack in quantity, they make up in quality. What a great group of seniors. And what a great youth ministry staff we have with Wes and Caleb and Olivia. Would you give them a hand? Because they've really poured into these students. Okay, today we need to go pretty quick. So I want you to open your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy. Give us as much light as you can. Hope you can open it up and read that. It's a series we're starting. Take your phone out. Go directly to the Bible app. Do not stop anywhere else, all right? We now have a device. Jake is back there that we can. Will you cut off all the other apps? Thank you. So you can't even go to those, all right? Well, I love this book, and I want to give you a little context before we dive into it. This is Paul's last letter to write. In months or maybe a couple years, he's going to be beheaded. And he's writing to this beloved son in the faith, Timothy. Him and Timothy had spent at least 15 years together on the road traveling. And they're so very close. And in this last letter, Paul wants Timothy to know how much he loves him. And as I read these next few verses, I want our seniors to know how much we love them as a church. We feel about you the way Paul felt about Timothy. Go to verse 1, chapter 1. I love the New Testament letters because you don't have to go to the end to find out who wrote it, right? They start off with the right writer. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so I may be filled with joy. Now, how unusual is it to read a man expressing that kind of tenderness to another man? You're my dear son. Almost every time I pray, you come to my mind, and here's my favorite, I long to see you. And that's the way he feels about Timothy. But he also wants to equip Timothy, because if you read about Timothy through the New Testament, You find out that he was a little bit timid. At times it seems that Timothy lacked confidence. And so the Apostle Paul knows Timothy needs, this word we're going to use the next few weeks, he needs grit. Say that word with me, grit. Say it with some grit, grit. It's a great word. Let me try to work on a definition with you for a second. It's the combination of passion and perseverance. Stop there just for a second. So it's this combination of this passion. You get fired up, but a lot of folks get fired up, right? It's perseverance. So help me out here. It's a combination of, could you say it with some passion? And perseverance. And then he goes on to say, or this definition says, that drives someone to keep going over the long term, especially when facing challenges, setbacks, or slow progress. That's what grit is. It's going through the long term, even when it's difficult. Reminds me of the man who decided to get in shape. Day one, he goes out, he runs a half a mile, and he thinks he's a marathon runner. Day two, he goes out and he runs a mile, and he begins to question everything about himself in this decision. Day three, he puts his shorts on, t-shirt on, shoes, walks out the door, barely cloudy, decides he better not run, it's gonna rain. Day four, he gets back up, gets dressed, and despite the fact he doesn't want to run, he's stubborn enough to make himself do it. It's not glamorous, it's not beautiful, it's probably not even that fast. That's what we call grit. You grit it out. And so As we think about grit, there's a great book out there. It's not even a Christian book, but a lady named Angela Duckworth. It's called Grit. And I just want to share these stories, especially for our seniors, to talk about the importance of grit. One study is they studied children entering the Chicago school system. And they studied all kinds of different factors, but here was their result. The foremost predictor of success wasn't talent or brains. It wasn't social intelligence. It wasn't looks. It wasn't physical health. It wasn't IQ. It was grit. That would determine success more than anything else. Harvard University did a study, it's famously called the treadmill test, where they put these sophomores on a treadmill and measured how far they could go. They took in factors of their weight and their all things, but they measured that, and they kept up with these people over the next 3 decades. And the way they measured grit was the person who was, you know, so tired but kept on pushing through on the treadmill. And here's what they said. The treadmill runtime at age 20 was a reliable predictor of psychological adjustment and maturity through adulthood. This is a good predictor. Better, almost made, more than any other factor. Now, I love the actor Will Smith. Any of the rest of you guys like Will Smith? I think he just does a great job. I love this quotation from him. He said, I've never really viewed myself as particularly talented. I mean, he's an Academy Award winner. Where I excel is ridiculous, sickening, worth ethic. That's grit. I love when Wes talked about our boy Jackson Burton. You know, Jackson's quite a story, really incredible athlete, just struggled with injuries last few years. Finally had that Achilles injury, and he wanted to play baseball so bad, but no doctor would let him do it. Until the end of the season, he just goes and signs these waivers that if he gets hurt, he won't do anything toward the doctors. And he gets them, and that's when he went in that game, that last game, and hit a home run. Jackson, that's a great example of grit. And that's what we need to develop in life. So how do we get grit? Let's keep on walking through 2 Timothy chapter 1, and Paul's going to give us some good answers. Look at verse 5. Paul says, I'm reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. You want grit? Remember your roots. For Timothy, he's saying, it was your mom, must not have been his dad, your grandma, it was a two-generation effort to pass on faith, and you seniors today, we know our church helps, but it's the parents who do the most. And Paul says, if you can remember what they poured into you, if you remember when you first understood that simple little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, that if you remember that, that can change things. Because as you get older, I'm telling you, life is going to become more complicated. It's going to be more difficult. Satan's going to throw all kinds of things at you. It's like the church at Ephesus that was such a great church, except one thing, you've forsaken your first love. And what's he say? You need to go back to what you did in the beginning. So if you're struggling with grit this morning, remember what first motivated you to follow Jesus. And remember the people who poured into you. And then look at verse 6. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul had given Timothy a gift. We studied last week about how the Holy Spirit gives gifts. He had given Timothy a gift, but somehow it must have been fading. Or you don't say fan into flame the gift of God. Oh, it's not completely gone. Because fire doesn't just end in a moment, whether it's a fire on a camping trip or the spiritual fire you have. It's a slow but sure fading if you neglect it, if you don't stir it up, if you don't throw more logs on it. And so he's saying, Timothy, for you to stay passionate and to persevere, you must do some intentional work to keep your spiritual fire going. Don't sit around and just wait, well, God, if you zap me. You guys going off to college, don't sit around and go, maybe I'll go to church, maybe I won't, if God would just, no. You be intentional about your Bible study. You be intentional about those spiritual disciplines that will sustain you through life. You have a responsibility. You got to feed the fire. You got to stoke the fire. You got to stir the fire. Don't let it go out. But what I believe can happen, please listen to me, is you can go off to college. College is one of my favorite times in life because college is when people make big time decisions. And you're going to go out and you're going to face more temptation than you probably ever have in your life. But this is the place you make the choice for Jesus. Most people don't go off to college and stay lukewarm. And what I love is when someone goes off to college and they grow in their faith because they've stretched it. I'm thinking about the Roberts son, Grady Roberts. I love Grady. And Grady and I have sort of stayed in touch over the last years. He's been off to college and looking forward to getting a chance to work with him this summer. But let me tell you this. Grady Roberts is more fired up coming back than when he left. And that's what we believe can happen with you. So let's go to verse 7. I love this verse. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. You think that's aimed at Timothy a little bit? Some of us that are more timid, maybe we need to hear that. Spirit didn't give you timidity. What does the Spirit give? But gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Man, that's some incredible ingredients. So, next point is, reject fear as your driver. So many of us don't step out and grow in God because Satan whispers all kinds of lies to you. You'll never make it. You can't overcome that temptation. If you step out and try to live for God in front of your friends, they're going to make fun of you. You're going to fail. And what happens is, you guys, I'm certainly not just talking to our graduates right now, because I think the older you get, the more fearful you can become because you've seen more bad stuff, okay? But what I'm saying is what fear does to you is it paralyzes you. Where you maybe once were bold and brash and took risks for God, you start playing it safe. And Paul says, Timothy, I've not raised you up to go play it safe. I want you to be full of love and power and self-discipline. What a beautiful thing. I asked you this morning, is there fear controlling you? Are you willing to confront your fear? And then there's a great section here, a little longer, starting in verse 8, where Paul's going to say, don't be ashamed. Look at this. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Let's just stop there for a second. Guys, we live in a culture that's more and more against Christianity, where it's, we're at one point to quote scripture in public or to pray in the name of Jesus or to take, but just never even question. Today, it can be. And Paul says, and certainly in Paul's day, in Timothy's day, it was everywhere. And so he's saying, don't be ashamed. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God, he saved us and called us to holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Oh, I love this. Who's destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Timothy, if even the worst thing happens to you and you lost your life, death has been destroyed. You're better off than ever. And of this gospel, I was appointed an herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. You see, Paul's saying, Timothy, even in suffering, you don't have to lose your passion because you got grit. And listen to why Paul has grit. I love this last sentence. I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Why does Paul have grit? This is our next point. Don't be ashamed. Why does he have it? Because he's so convicted about the gospel. I mean, I underlined all the things. He said, he saved us. We're not saved because we're so good and we do so many good works. We're saved because he was so good. He's destroyed death. He's convinced those of us who believe that we're going to be victorious. So you've got to look into that why. And I think Paul put it well in that verse. I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. My friends, grit is built by conviction. It's when you know you're tempted to do something wrong or tempted to be quiet about the Lord, but you believe it so deeply. It just has to come. You can't force it, guys, but you got that conviction. It just comes out. Well, let's look at the last two verses of this section. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Last point here about developing grit. Protect what God gave you. We all understand this, guys. Valuable things need to be protected. If you're going to school and you got a really nice car, you better lock those doors, especially in Auburn. I mean, you better lock those. I'm playing. You better lock. If you got a dump for a car, leave the doors unlocked. Invite them, man. Keep the doors open. If you got some nice jewelry, you take it off. Girls, you better find some place to keep it secure and lock it up. Guys, if you got some golf clubs that you're proud of, don't leave them outside on the porch. They'll be gone. You protect them. And Paul's saying, oh, those things are so minimum compared to, I want you to protect your faith. If you don't guard what God has done in your life, you could lose it. And I love what he says here. The Holy Spirit's going to be there to help you. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So my prayer for you today is that you'll develop this incredible quality with this great word, grit. Man, it'll be the greatest predictor of your success. So we want to hear a little bit about some grit. Wes and Madison can come up here and talk about some things that happened in her life where she's displayed incredible grit.
This is my friend, Madison Williams. She is a senior at ACA this year and will be going to Auburn in the fall. And one of my favorite memories about Madison is during one of her first fall retreats, she challenged me in front of everybody to a putter ball match. If you don't know what putter ball is, it's just a putting game from golf. And we started to play. I was like, there's no way this eighth grade girl is going to beat me in putter ball. And so I start doing it, and I sink the first couple. And then Madison sinks one or two and comes back. And then I get a little nervous, but I sink another one. And then all of a sudden, Madison sinks like the next three and beats me. And what she challenged me to is that I had to go and jump in the freezing cold lake at Lake Martin. And so she proudly led a procession of all of our students as I had to go and jump into the lake. So this is my way of getting back at you today, Madison. So we're really glad you're here today. So my first question for you, what is your favorite memory from your time in youth ministry?
My favorite memory from my time in the youth ministry was my first senior impact. So that's when the youth ministry, the 10th through 12th graders go up to Nashville for a week-long church camp at Lipscomb University. And it was just really awesome because you got a week-long of just, you know, being fully surrounded with, you know, Christian people and really, really good lessons. And my first one really stuck out to me because, like, I was able to fully, like, digest what was being taught to me, and I had time to kind of apply it to my life, like even while I was there for just, you know, the 7 days.
Yeah, I love that. And now you're even on their website, which is pretty cool. What is your greatest spiritual takeaway from the past 6 years, Madison?
My greatest spiritual takeaway is just learning how to worship. So before you get into the youth ministry, like, I would see people in church services, like, raise their hands, but it was really neat to see people my age fully, like, giving themselves to God while they were worshiping, whether that be, like, you know, putting your hand up or just, like, singing really loud. And I was able to look at the older girls that were up on the stage leading worship, and it just, like, inspired me to, you know, fully give myself to God when I'm worshiping, like, whether that be getting up and worshiping or just, you know, being with somebody. And y'all actually sang one of my favorite songs, which is Goodness of God. And my favorite line in that is, "All my life you have been faithful," because it's just a really good reminder that, you know, God is always going to be there for you, even when you don't think that anybody else is. And I just know that he's always going to be on my side.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've loved watching you, like, go from being a student who loves worship in the crowd to being one of the students that's willing to lead it up on the stage so that you can give back. It's one of the best ways that I love watching you serve God that way. Can you share a specific time when perseverance was required in your life?
Yeah, okay, so I have two. Yeah. So last year, the senior class was a lot bigger, and then this year it was a lot smaller. So it was a really big adjustment that I had to get used to. And but it really was, like, the biggest blessing, because it pushed me out of my comfort zone to be able to talk to the younger girls and form relationships with them that, like, I didn't have before. Yeah. So it could be, like, you know, going and saying hey to one of the seventh graders before youth group starts on a Wednesday night, or going and playing games with them or something like that. And it was just really just, like, an amazing thing to experience. And then the second time that I had to persevere through something was this last September. So many of y'all know I got hurt playing flag football. It was not a good knee injury. And I was really hesitant about if I was going to be able to play my senior year of tennis, which, if y'all know, tennis is played in the spring. And so I remember sitting in the doctor's office with my mom. It was a couple of days, like, after I had gotten hurt. And I was just in tears, because I was like, I really wanted to play my senior year. Like, this is not how things were supposed to work out. But after a lot of prayer and, you know, just talking to people and different doctors and go to a lot of PT, I was able to play the whole entire season of my senior year, even if I was in a lot of pain, and got to, you know, finish out the game strong at sectionals this year. So,
yeah, you did. And it was awesome to watch you, like, your first match and your second match were, like, what, 10 minutes apart, right, during that sectionals? Yeah. And, like, it was obvious that you were displaying that grit that Buddy was talking about. And it actually, that night, I wrote you and I said, hey, this verse today I was reading, and it reminded me of a lot of you. And it says, hardship produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And Madison, I just see that in you. Like, I've seen you from the moment that you came into the ministry and the class above you was so big and your class was a little smaller. Like, you stuck in it and you loved this ministry well. And we're just so thankful for you and how you've done that. How has persevering helped you develop a greater hope in God?
So, like, persevering through the two things showed me two things. And it was that, like, I can lead, and that, you know, you can do hard things. And so, like, I was able to show myself that, like, in situations where there are not a lot of people like my age, like, I can be a really good influence to the younger girls of how to live out your life. Yeah. That's going to glorify God, and, you know, just being set apart from other people. And it showed me how I can do hard things. So, like, battling through my injury and playing my senior year of tennis taught the girls on my team that, like, even if you have obstacles, like, you can't let the devil try to, you know, take over it, but you just have to fully give your trust to God and just know that he has a plan for you and a reason that everything happens.
Yeah. Well, that's a wonderful testimony, and you did well, better than I did at putterball, but I want to pray over you real quick and over the whole senior class. Cool? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for Madison Williams. Lord, she has given a beautiful testimony of what it looks like to persevere faithfully. And God, not everything has came easily, but Lord, it's produced in her a hope that is evident, Father. Like, when Madison comes around, you can see that Jesus Christ is evident in her life, and that hope that she has found through persevering through trials is something that comes only for you. And so, God, I pray a blessing over her as she goes to college. God, we know that you have made her for a moment like this, and that, God, she is not just going to be someone who does college okay. She's going to, God, show up and show out in your name. And so, God, we pray that blessing over Auburn's campus through Madison Williams, and that also, God, she finds a church that is going to bless her too. We pray the same thing for each and every one of our seniors as well, Father. God, may they show up and show out in your name, because they have received so many blessings from you in this time in middle school and high school and elementary and through their families in this church. And God, may they just give back to you the goodness that they have received. Lord, be with them, and may they continue to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I ask these things in your son's blessed name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Give these guys a hand, Madison. Appreciate it. What an awesome group of seniors. Let's try to bring today to a practical conclusion. You see, here's the truth. Our challenge in most of life is never starting. It's sustaining. It's finishing. Whether it's a diet and you want to lose weight, or that exercise program you started in January and you've already dropped, or you're wanting to start saving more money, it doesn't last long, or you've committed yourself to read your Bible and pray every morning and slowly it fades, or you commit yourself to one of our life groups or ABC groups here and you don't stick it out. It's a really hard thing for our groups. Or a Bible class, and maybe a teacher rotates through that doesn't necessarily float your boat, and so you don't, you know, I'll stop. My friends, what we need in every area of this church and of life is we need grit. Now, grit is a beautiful thing, but what I want you to know this morning is this series we're starting today does not contradict our series last week. If you're first time here, we spent 5 weeks talking about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does and how he strengthens. That is all absolutely true. There's the power. Well, what's this thing, buddy, about grit? Well, grit is what we talked about last week of the ways that you can cooperate with the Spirit, sow to the Spirit, stay in step with the Spirit. I want to stay with the Spirit. So they're not contradictory. I like what my friend Amy Glenn says. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And what she means by that is he will not force his way into your life like we studied. He has to be invited. And so here's what I want you to know. The Holy Spirit's right in the middle of this. I don't know if you noticed it as we read these verses. Holy Spirit was at least 3 times. Verse 6, he gave the gift to Timothy. Verse 7, he's the one who gave him power, love, and self-discipline. In verse 13, he says, all of this is done with the what? Help of the Holy Spirit. Remember one of those names we studied? The Holy Spirit is the helper. Here's what I want you to know this morning. Grit is not a one-man show. It takes you and the Holy Spirit. You don't have enough power within you to be as gritty as you need to do to make it through this life. But it also takes brothers and sisters. Notice we've got two brothers here. We've got Paul, who, if you know much about Paul, he was hardwired to be bold. And we got Timothy, who's a little bit timid, but they needed each other. At this point, Timothy needed a Paul to pour into him. And sometimes you'll be that Paul that comes in a group of people or even our church and stirs it up, thank God. But sometimes you may be the Timothy. You may come here today and right now your faith is not so strong and you need us to pour into you. Because let me show you guys, nobody gets this perfect. You know, we all want to be full of grit and perseverance and passion. Let me tell you two quick stories. When I was in high school, when I first fell in love with Jesus Christ, and I decided I was going to take my Bible to school. So the NIV had just come out, those brown NIVs. And so I took my Bible to Robert E. Lee High School. I hate to confess to you, I put a Montgomery Public School cover on my Bible. That was so pitiful. By the time I got to college, though, I at least had a little more grit. With the University of Alabama, I assumed it was a Christian school, and it wasn't. And so I got there, and my first class, the first semester, was a psychology class. And I liked the professor. He's really nice. But we're all sitting around a circle. And the first question of class is, I want each of you to begin the semester by sharing your philosophy of life. Well, I knew I wanted to say something about Jesus. I'm two-thirds way around the circle. I'm thinking there's got to be some good Baptist in the crowd. There's got to be somebody that's going to say something, you know, somebody that's going to say something and not a single word about God, the Bible, or Jesus. And it got to me, and I can promise you I was shaking. But I got my grit up. I said, my philosophy of life is to be as close to Jesus as possible and as much like him. Now, what's funny is the rest of the semester, anytime something religious came up, guess who they turned to? So I've succeeded at times and I failed at times, just like you. Guys, the most important thing is that you just don't give up. That's what grit's about. It's not about perfection. The best decision I ever made in my life, I also made that in college when I was undergoing a lot of temptation and a lot of pressure and a lot of self-doubt. I finally remember saying to God, God, I don't care what life throws at me or Satan throws at me, I will never give up following you. Never. I'm not telling you it's been easy, but that one decision has allowed me to have some grit. And today, maybe you're here. This lesson is not just for our seniors. It's for all of us. And maybe your fire has been fading. And maybe you've become more ashamed of the gospel. Maybe your involvement in spiritual things is not what it should be, and you feel it inside because you're not fanning that flame. You're not stirring it. Because that's why we got each other. Make a decision today. I just will never quit. That's grit. That's not easy, but that's grit. So today, we're about to sing this song of invitation, we call it. And if you're lacking grit today in some area of your life, or you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus and say, hey, I don't care what happens, I'm following him wholeheartedly, then maybe on this front row, you could be baptized today. We could pray for you today. And we can all leave here with a little bit more grit to face this week. If you need to come right now while we stand and sing.